Welcome to Calvary Church. We hope you enjoy our latest message. For more information, you can check us out at calvarysimcoe.com or you can visit us on Facebook or Instagram.
So this morning I thought we'd be really practical. And in the process of transforming us, I believe the Lord wants to transform our church. How many of you know the Lord wants to see Calvary Church? And Calvary isn't what we're renovating. Calvary, what we're renovating allows the church to gather, amen? But as we are transformed, which is our theme for the year from glory to glory, I believe the Lord wants to do it in our congregation. And sometimes as a pastor, when you start to talk about transforming and changing things, people assume, well, was it bad before? No, but how many of you understand that the Holy Spirit wants us as a church to have our sails up? And that means we might not do things the way we did 6 months ago or 6 years or six decades ago. We always have to be catching the wind of the Spirit. In fact, that was my prayer this morning. In my own life, I got up early and I said, Lord, I just want to put my sails up today. I just want to be a person of the Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, the wind blows wherever it wants and you don't know where it comes from, but you can see its effect. So it is with those born of the Spirit. And I just really feel that a Spirit-led life is someone who just has the awareness, my sails are up today. And so over the next number of months, we're going to be flowing, because I think they all go together, flowing in and out of transformation, which we know is sanctification, and being transformed into the image of Jesus so we can fulfill the purposes of Jesus. So we're going to flow in and out of transformation, the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and what He does through us. And we're going to also talk about how the Lord wants to transition and strengthen us as a gathered group. So this morning, we're going to talk about what the Lord wants to do in our midst, through us as a church. For some of you who are new, and this isn't overly original, but for some of you who are new, kind of our vision that we gather our church and organize our ministries around is restore, renew, and release. We believe that the Church of Jesus has to be about restoring people to relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I still believe that the gospel is the power of God. I still believe that Jesus is the only exclusive way to the Father. So we have to be about the gospel. We have to be about people. There's only two types of people in the world. There's nice people and there's not so nice people. And there's all of those things. But there's only two categories of people that heaven recognizes. Those with Jesus and those without Jesus. One person in a Pentecostal evangelical church believed that this morning. People either have Jesus and they have salvation or they don't. That's what the Bible says. So we have to be about restoring and renewing. Renewing is the process of being equipped. It's discipleship. It's being healed. It's finding wholeness. It's being transformed. And I've made this statement many times in the past, and I'll say it again because we are in a season where there's a revival spirit here. And I know we're always looking for our version of what revival is or what we think it should be. But here's the reality. I know that we are at least in some kind of revival here because people are speaking to me and people are saying things like, I want to be whole. I want to be holy. I don't want to sin anymore. Folks, those are conversations I'm having. And I won't go any farther than that because I won't betray a trust. But revival doesn't fix things. Revival brings things to the surface and allows God to shine His light on them so that we can work through those things in the process of transformation and be made whole, be healed, be delivered and set free. And friends, that's where we're at right now. We are in the place where things are coming to the surface and people are saying, I don't want to live like this anymore. Pastor, help me. What do I do? And then there's the releasing. Being released into our purpose and calling in the body of Christ. So, that's kind of this morning I want to focus on the last two, the process of being renewed and released. You see, I believe that we are transformed so that we can be equipped for life and purpose in Jesus. If any of you are taking notes, here's a statement you can write down. I believe that we are poured into so we can pour out. We are equipped so we can go and do what Jesus calls us to do. We're poured into so we can pour out. Next week, if it goes according to plan, and I now say that because it doesn't always go according to the plan that I had, but next week we're going to talk about the fact that we looked at the verse a few weeks ago. Jesus called the disciples to himself, and then he released them into their apostolic ministry. Every single person in this room has an apostolic ministry. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but every person in this room is called to be an apostle, which means a culture shifter. And we're going to look at that. Mom and dad, you are called to shift the culture in your house and make it what Jesus wants it to be. All of us are called to be apostolic. So this morning, why don't you turn to Galatians 4, 1 to 7? We're going to lay groundwork. Are you all still with me? All right. That was better than the last response. We're getting somewhere. I won't say I'm preaching better than you're listening this morning. I won't say that. Okay, maybe I will. No. All right. No, that's the wrong verse. It should be Galatians 5. No. Where am I here? What's going on? I think I'm even in the wrong book of the Bible. I was all over the place this weekend. Sorry. It's Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, chapter 1. I was reading Galatians going, hey, this is really good, but it's not what it's supposed to be. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you've received with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above and through all in all. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the gift. Now go forward to verse 11. And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. So Paul lists there five ministries, which maybe you've heard this term, the fivefold ministry. And I know as classic Pentecostals or non-Pentecostals, that verse scares a lot of people. Fivefold ministry. It scares people. There's been a lot of debate over it. But just let me break it out in a few minutes. So he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry of God, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with stature measured by Christ's fullness. Now, there's some people that say, it's interesting, and I'm just going to put this out there. There are those in the body of Christ who think differently about the fivefold ministry. They'll say the fivefold ministry is no longer relevant because we now have the Bible. So there's no longer apostles, prophets, but those same people call themselves pastors and teachers. I've watched pastors preach and say there's no more gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's no more baptism in the Spirit, there's no more apostles, no more prophets, but they have pastor on their title and teacher. So we either accept the full counsel of God's word or none of it, right? Okay, so I just thought I'd throw that out. That's all free. All right. And I believe those gifts are still around, pastors, teachers, and prophets, and evangelists, and I'll tell you why. Until we reach unity in the faith, growing into maturity with the stature of measured. How many have reached full maturity? All right. I'm in a room of people that think like I do. All right. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning and cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. For him, from him, the whole body. Say that, whole body. Whole body. You're the body. I'm the body. From him, the whole body, fitted together and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for the building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. So, it says that to the church, God has given those five ministries. We have used the title pastor, but pastor is actually a specific ministry within those fivefold ministries. Pastor was a person who cared for, came alongside, and met the needs of people. And I'll tell you why I believe we've used a pastor. This isn't in my notes. I could get myself in trouble, all right? But you've already paid me for the week, so I'm fine. I believe the reason that we've gone with the pastor model is the pastor model is all about you. Coming alongside you, supporting you, helping you. How many of you know there needs to be care in the body of Christ? But the North American church has built a model around the care of the people, and over decades it shifted to, wait a sec, a pastor is there for me and the church is there for me, therefore the pastor has to meet my needs. I believe it was for selfish motives that we put. Do you realize that Paul says that to the church has been given, he says, apostles and prophets in Romans? And he doesn't even mention pastors. Interesting, isn't it? And yet that's the one that we've exalted. And I didn't mean to say that this morning, but we're going somewhere with this, all right? Those ministries have been given for the equipping of the church. And I don't believe that God gave those five gifts to the church so that we could give them a title, pay them, and then they do all the ministry in the church. They're called to equip the church. And I believe they're called to equip the church to pastor, to be apostles, to be prophets, to be teachers, and to be evangelists. I believe that's why the fivefold gifts were given. When I started to realize many years ago, when I started to realize that God had put a deposit of you can call it the gift of the Spirit, you can call it faith. The Bible says eagerly desire the greater gifts. And I got tired of sitting with people, holding their hand while they suffered and died. And felt like that's all I could do was offer comfort. Something started to rise up in me decades ago and say, you are a healer. There's healing in you. And I started to pursue that. But this is what the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me that it's not just for me so I can build a ministry, have a microphone, and pray for people so I could raise up the body to be healers. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an example of how the Lord did that. And so I believe that they're called to equip because that's what the word says. Do you know what the word equip means in the Greek? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I'm going to tell you, all right, there. It means outfitting. The first meaning means to outfit. To equip someone in the Greek language meant you would give them the proper tools so they could do the proper job. It would be like somebody getting the tool belt with all the tools on it so that they can go and do what they were called to do. It would be like giving a medical person all of the equipment that medical person needs so they can administer help and care in a person's health care. It meant to give them the right tools along with the right training so they can go and do it. The other meaning of the word equip that's found here in Ephesians means to mend and repair something, like a sail. Sails would get ripped and torn on their boats, and so they would mend and repair them, sometimes weekly, sometimes nightly. Why? So that the sails could go up and catch the wind properly. And I think that's a wonderful description of what we're called to do as a church. We are to outfit people. It would be like another term for equipping. One of the major uses was giving the soldier the training, giving a soldier the armor, and giving a soldier the weapons so they can go and do war. And I think that's a great twofold description of what we're called to do as a church. We are called to equip people for our lives and our purpose in Jesus. Amen? But we're also called to mend and repair and see people come into wholeness. Anybody here ever been in need of repair? I have. And that's what God's called the body to do, so that we can be all that God's called us to be. And so we are called to restore people to a relationship with Jesus, but after that we're called to renew them, which is the process of discipleship, process of transformation, the process of equipping, mending, coming alongside, but also releasing people. And here's what I believe. I believe that restoring and releasing go together. And I'll tell you why. Another thing that we've done in the church is we've made the church discipleship didactic. We've used a classroom setting. Discipleship has now come to mean somebody teaches me the word of God. They teach me, they teach, and we become people who receive that teaching. I think Jesus' model of discipleship, which was renewing and releasing people. Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, and very quickly, yes, they sat under the teaching of Jesus, sat under the mentorship of Jesus, sat under the ministry of Jesus. He would encourage them, rebuke them. He would do all of those things in discipleship, but he also empowered them, and they did ministry with him. And so we've made discipleship about what I'm doing this morning. I preach, I teach, you listen. We go to a midweek class, somebody teaches, we might take notes, there might be interaction, and that's all good and that's all fine. That needs to happen. The preaching of the gospel is what brings people to salvation. I understand that. But discipleship, transformation, being equipped is more than us just coming in here and being purveyors of something that somebody's giving. Because what we've done is we've turned the church into a spectator type thing. And that's not what the church was ever meant to be. We see in Ephesians that the work of the pastor and apostle and evangelist and prophet and teacher is to equip pastors and evangelists and equip teachers and prophets and people to apostolic ministry in the body. And all along the way, as we are being equipped and outfitted and mended, we're learning from one another. And so, again, we've created ministries and platforms around pastoral gifts and around programs in the church. And so, we've made a few people, those who are either the paid staff, the volunteer staff, or the volunteers, we've made them the ones that do ministry. I don't know what the exact statistics are, but I'm sure many of you watch some of the mega churches on TV. At least they're preaching, right? I do. I love Robert Morris, right? Love Bill Johnson. I actually watch old school John Osteen, Joel's dad. Watch John Osteen sometime, Holy Ghost and Power. All mega church pastors. Do you know that the bigger the church, the smaller the percentages of people involved? That's a statistical fact. They say that churches under a certain size, I think it's 200 and under, 150 and under, the majority of the people that go to those churches are involved in the ministry. And in fact, I think that's a healthier model. And so I believe we're gathered to be poured into so we can pour out. And so I think there needs to be a shift that takes place in our thinking so there can be a shift in our church. So let me give I'll give you the example now. In a ministry that Jackie and I served in, we gave altar calls for people's needs and healing almost on a weekly basis. And every week, sometimes you'd get 3 or 4 people, other times you'd get 20 people come forward, and we'd pray for them faithfully. And every week, most people left. Most people left without anything having changed. Now, God did answer prayer. There'd be times we'd get together and pray. People would testify, God changes. But you know those in-the-moment miracles, those like, we need Jesus now. Like I said, nothing was happening. And most people were happy that nothing was happening. Because we love having a pastor out here. We love having a pastor that gives altar calls. We love being, Jesus said it'd be a house of prayer. And I'd go, but nothing's happening. So we started to equip the church on how to pray. Oh, wait a sec, pastor. There's not a certain way to pray. It's only what's sincere. Well, I'm here to tell you, God hears every sincere prayer. But there is a proper way to pray. The disciples didn't come to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you teach us how to be sincere? What did they say? Teach us how to pray. Because they saw Jesus' relationship with the Father and they saw the results that were flowing through Jesus' life. And they said, we want to be able to pray like that with intimacy and with effect. So we started to train the church. We literally started to equip the church on these are some ways that the scripture tells us we can pray for the sick and we can pray for needs. These are some of the ways that we can sit and wait for the Holy Spirit. We can wait and listen. Is he giving us a scripture? We started to equip the church. And I'm going to tell you, it got really uncomfortable for a lot of people who said, like, oh, I've just been coming to church for years and sitting in the back and now all of a sudden, like, I feel like maybe I need to participate. But do you know what started to happen? We started to see literally people getting healed on a regular basis. In fact, we started to see the majority of people getting prayed for getting healed on a regular basis. Do you know why? Because we equipped the body how to do that. And the Lord will never give the guy or the girl with the microphone all the gifts in the moment to meet all the needs. Some of you who say, I want God to use my life, need to say amen to that. See, because we've built a church culture where if we need healed, we got to wait for the healing evangelist with that on his life, or the one board member or the one elder who's got that on their life. And then we say, oh, I missed my opportunity. I got to wait till they do the circuit again next year. Or I'm going to line up, but I'm going to only go to that person. And God will never do that, because God isn't into superstars or one. He's into the body being equipped. And when we started to equip the body, we started to see people get healed. I would say something like, how many this morning here really felt something change in your body? And if we prayed for 10 people, 6 hands would go up. And that week, 5 people would come and say, I got a doctor's note, or the back's gone, or what, this is gone, this is shifted, this has changed. And most of the time, no staff members were praying for them. Why? Because we started to understand, wait a sec, our job isn't to pray for everybody. And I believe in the ministry of the prayer team. I believe in all of that. But where do we equip people to do the work of ministry? And boy, it was a pinch me moment when someone came to me after church and they said, Pastor, I've been in the faith for decades. I've been in the Pentecostal church for decades. And that was the first time this morning God worked a miracle instantly through me. And they were so excited. They said, this has always been in me. They prayed for somebody and the person's back, the pain left, they felt their back come into alignment, and their doctor confirmed it, that their back problems were gone. Man, I've been in the church, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit for decades. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on. It's the first time in 40 years they'd ever felt God do something instantly through them. It was a pinch me moment for me. And so I believe that as a body, as we learn to love and care for one another and step out on behalf of one another, the Spirit will release power for answers. And we'll talk about gifts of the Spirit. I always laugh because as pastors, we teach the gifts of the Spirit. People discover their gifts. They discover the gifts they want to flow in. We preach on it again next year. The same people discover the same gifts. And we preach on it again the next year. There's an activation that has to happen, and most of the time the activation will take place when you step out. Yeah. Last Sunday night, I wasn't going to say this, but last Sunday night, I got to get going. Last Sunday night, I was preaching in a city near here, and boy, I was confident in what I was delivering, but I was thinking, Lord, I'm preaching on the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching on just the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I know that after the service, people are going to line up and want me to pray for them. And folks, that's where I get stretched. I'd rather preach to 500 than pray for 5 people. I'm just being really transparent because that puts me out of my comfort zone. And I just started to pray, oh God, anoint me. And I felt the Lord go, you're already anointed. You just need to step out. And I'm just gonna be up front with you. I left that meeting Sunday night more excited about the comments. And please understand, okay, this isn't like pat me on the back. This is me just saying, you have to step out. Yeah. People were lined up coming to me, and I would say to one person, as I was praying for them, I would pray, and the Lord's put this verse on my heart, and I'm just going to pray this verse, or I just pray the verse, and a number of people grabbed me and said, at the beginning of our 21 days of prayer, the Lord gave me this verse, and this is, and it was their last, I preached on the last day of their 21 days of prayer, and they said, and this is the last day, and you just released that verse into me again. I just had to step out in it, friends. I was being used prophetically in people, and I didn't even know I was being used, and that's okay. I was being used by God because God wants to activate what is in you to care and touch others. Because if you're a Christian, the Bible says there's already the Spirit of God in you. There's already anointing in you. Just step out in it. All right, we got to get moving. Are you okay for a few more minutes? All right. Don't you wish you could have one of those fast-forward buttons like you do when you watch a live stream? So you can still hear everything I say, but it's just a little faster, right? And I think we need to shift our thinking. Why do we gather? Why don't we gather? Why is 40 to 45% of the church in Canada after COVID not returned? Because I don't need to go to church to get what I need. I can watch it from home. Is going to church has never been just about what we need. Come on, going to church has never just been about what I get out of it. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, turn there quickly. And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works. Some translations say, and let us consider how we may provoke love and good works in one another, not neglecting to gather together. Oh, let's read that again. Not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other and all the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, the day of Jesus' return is approaching. We need each other more than we ever did. So Hebrews 10:24 says, consider how we may spur one another on. And so I looked up, I did a bit of study on that. And let us watch out, let us consider. Do you know what that word consider means? It means let's see how inventive we can be. Let's actually think through ways that we can encourage one another and spur one another on. Could you imagine what our church would look like if each one of us said, I'm going to gather today. I could stay home, but I'm going to gather today. And Holy Spirit, let me put the sails up. Holy Spirit, I just want to pray into the service ahead of time so that I can find ways. Maybe today is the day I can find a way to be able to encourage somebody. Can you imagine what our church would be like if everybody came saying, I'm going to be inventive today in finding ways that I can encourage others? The Bible doesn't recognize individualistic faith. It's me and Jesus. It's between God and I. It's not in either testament of the Bible. Everything. It was the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Gather together at the temple. Gather together in your homes. Gather together around the Passover. In the New Testament, it's the church. So, I'm going to look for inventive ways. Let me just hurry along here. Imagine if we didn't leave the care, the welcome, the encouragement to someone else, or to the few on the staff or the official ministry team. And by the way, some of you are doing this. I watch, you know. I do watch. And there's people here this morning that I could call out. Some of you I'm in close relationship with, some of you I barely know. That's just the truth. But I watch, and I see some of you doing this. You're moving around, talking to people, shaking their hands. I love the after services that we're having because sometimes we're here for half an hour, 40 minutes after, and there's just pockets of people praying with one another. And so if every one of us considered how we can make someone else feel welcome. I had a report last week of a young adult who saw someone who was new. And I don't think the person that was new is here today, but let me just tell you as a pastor, the person that was here that I'm referring to is somebody that was a child in our last congregation. And I haven't heard from them in 6 years. And after 6 years, they reached out to me and said, Pastor Jay, I feel lost. I just feel lost. And so we were having a dialogue, and they asked, can I come to your church Sunday? And I said, you don't ever need to ask permission. And I found out after the service that one of our young adults found them, went across the room, and made them feel welcome. So to me, I want to say thank you that there's people doing that. Walk across the room. We can have conversations with others. You can invite people out for lunch, a play date with your kids. But it's giving people that connection, that sense of family and belonging. That's what will keep people from falling through the cracks. I remember Chuck Swindoll, listening to him on the radio. Some of you know Chuck, a great Baptist pastor, loves the Word of God. But he talked about having a former Marine in his church that Jesus radically saved. And this Marine became a really good friend of his and part of his congregation. And he said, we were going out for coffee one day, and the Marine said to me, do you know what I miss most about being a Marine? And Chuck Swindoll said, what? And he goes, man, the camaraderie, the belonging, the knowing that they're my brothers and sisters and we have each other's back. He goes, boy, I really, really miss that. Chuck Swindoll goes, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and went, he should be finding that as a believer in the church. But he found he was still missing it. And Chuck Swindoll goes, we came back and we started to shift our church into how do we care for one another? And so pastoral care is all of our responsibility. It's always interesting pastoring a church. And the more people you have, the more opinions there are on what a pastor's role is. And I realize that, and we have to navigate that. I'm not complaining, but I found over the years there's two major types of people when it comes to care. There's the people that say they haven't been cared for unless the senior pastor's there. I've been in situations where I know that there has been five or six people, elders and people, visit someone, but the senior pastor didn't visit them that week, and they say, no one in the church is caring for me. We heard that recently. And you know what was interesting? The staff couldn't, because two of our staff members had COVID. The senior pastor had flu-like symptoms. Melanie was sick. We just couldn't. And I know people visited that individual in the hospital, and they still said, no one from Calvary Church is caring for me. Well, they don't like us to come in when there's COVID in the house. And we thought they were cared for because people from the congregation were visiting them. By the way, just so you know, I do hospital visits. I'm just letting you know that in case you're wondering. Justifying myself up here. I was at the hospital yesterday. And then there's the other people, and I've run into this. There's the other people that I have either visited or we've made a call, and they'll literally say to me, and I'll say, you don't seem open to this, and they'll go, no, but you're the pastor, you're paid to do it. No one in the church has reached out to me. I've heard that as well. And that's not Calvary Church. That's just, I've been 32 years in the ministry. And over the years, we've reached out to people. And I've just sensed, I said, like, is something wrong? And they'll go, yeah, you've come by and visited me twice, but no one in the church has. And you're paid to do this. Well, this is overtime and I don't get paid overtime. Does that count? How do you respond to that? So all I can say is this. This isn't a rebuke on anybody or anything. Do we understand that? We're all family, right? This is just, let's do better. Let's not put it on someone else to welcome the newcomer. Let me just say this. Don't make the mistake that I have and say, is this your first Sunday? And I've had people look at me and go, no, we're actually applying for membership. If you don't recognize someone, assume they're a guest. Don't ask them if it's the first Sunday. Just go, you know what? I've never been able to meet you before. And shake their hand. When we have guests in our home, actually, we're getting to the place now where we're like, it is what it is. You can take it. We've got animals and a son. But how many of you know that when you invite somebody over? No, yeah, Seth's pretty good. In fact, Seth could probably argue that his area in the basement's sometimes cleaner than ours upstairs, so. Sometimes? You're going straight home after service and you're going down to your room. But when we have guests, what do? We prepare, we clean, we do our best to host them. That's what I believe your calling is, to host the person. So this is something I want to encourage you to do. Our elders and our staff members and some people that are kind of understand the heart of this are already doing it, but I encourage each one of you, pastor your section. If you want it to be official, you can come up front and, you know, we'll do this. We now knight you pastor of your section. If you want something official. I encourage you, pastor your section. Most of you sit in the same area. Do you know why? Because when you move, I've said to people, oh, you weren't there the last few Sundays. No, we just moved. So I know that we have the areas we gravitate to, and that's okay. And so pastor your section. The pew in front of you, the pew behind you. Come 5 minutes early, stay 5 minutes late, look around and just say, is there somebody I don't know? Is there somebody sitting alone? Is there somebody that's lingering and looks like they might want prayer? And then go pastor your section. Just walk over to them, shake their hand, ask them their name. Again, if we all did that, it would be funny to sit here before church Sunday morning and watch like everybody looking at everyone else. No, I'm trying to pastor you. No, you're in my section. I'm pastoring you. No, you're in my section. I'm trying to pastor you. How many of you know that'd be a good problem to have? See, pastoral care is all of our responsibilities. Okay, we're going to skip that and we're going to wrap up. So, we don't want anyone to go unwelcomed. We don't want anyone to feel like they're left out. None of this absolves, just for those of you who, you know, none of it absolves the ministry teams or the pastors from pastoring and caring for people. But I'm telling you, it's people in situations fall through the cracks because there's too many. For just a few people to care for. And I want to empower all of you. Just care for one another. Be inventive in ways that you can encourage somebody. Be inventive. What if your smile and your welcome? I have spoken to people in this congregation. It's happened in years past, but I just want to say this. I've spoken to people in this congregation who have said to me, and this is a true story, I came today and I was giving the Lord one more chance. Or I came today and I've been considering suicide. Or I came today and I was so discouraged, but somebody came and prayed with me. Somebody welcomed me. Somebody sat down next to me. We have lots of testimonies of it happening in an official capacity. You know, a pastor prays with them or they come forward and we pray. And that's all good. But sometimes people have walked in and they're not looking for the official capacity. They're just looking to know that God cares for them. And somebody in this congregation has taken the time to walk over, sit next to them, say, you doing okay? And I found out later, that was the turning point. That was the decision that allowed someone to go, you know what? Maybe I can give God another try. Maybe I can give life, friends, life another try. Because somebody just had their wind up and the Spirit said, just go talk to them. Do you know sometimes we think, but I won't know what to say. Most of the time, it's not being profound. It's just being present. When I go into hospital rooms or situations where there's a crisis, folks, I always go in and I feel like the least qualified, sometimes the most Lord, I'm not up for this task. But most of the time, people very rarely come to me and said, boy, in that crisis, you had a lot of wise things to say. Do you know what they say? You were there. You were there. All right. The most important 10 minutes someone has to feeling valued is 5 minutes before the start time and 5 minutes after. If people can walk out here and go all the way out those doors without anyone saying hi to them, I mean, it doesn't matter how good the preaching is or the worship is or how presence-driven it is, there's a good chance they'll never come back. So, have I failed before? Absolutely. We all have. So, all right. Romans 12:9 as we wrap up. Love must be sincere. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. You know, most of us know that verse where Jesus tells people, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me. And I've heard stories of people, you know, doing something kind for somebody and then they've never seen or heard from them again and they thought, I wonder if I entertained an angel. Right? Maybe you've heard stories like that. The Bible says, be kind to strangers, be kind and loving, because in doing so, you may just entertain it. That's in the New Testament. God could send somebody, an angel disguised as a person, just so that we can step out and minister to them. And God isn't doing it to set us up to fail. He's doing it because he says, I want to be able to give you the blessing of stepping out and helping somebody. He's giving us an opportunity. Could it be that angels come to this church? They come and they take a seat and they're a one-time visitor and God's giving us an opportunity to minister to them so he can say, to the credit of the people, it was a ministering angel that you ministered to. And if it's not, Jesus said, whatever you've done to the least of these, to the person that's sitting alone and people have walked past and hasn't shaken their hand, for you to sit down and say, hey, do you want to do church together? Can I just sit with you? You're doing it to Jesus. That's Jesus sitting there. Come on, that's Jesus sitting there. So, as a family, we want to be equipped. We want to serve. So, there's a few opportunities that we are starting in our church, a few ministry opportunities, and there is sign-up sheets. Number one, connections. We don't know how often we want to do this, but we want to do better as a church at connecting people wherever they're at in their journey to the church. It might be a person, it's their first week, and they say, I want to know more about the church. It might be people that have been here for 6 months, and they say, I want to know how to be involved or be a member. Whatever point, we're going to call it Next Steps Connections. So anybody at any, you know, Janie might come and say, I need to know what my next step is here in this body. And so we want to literally open up the fireside room and have people who are part of the congregation who will have all the information that's needed so people can come and just say, hey, I just wanna know what's available for my family. I wanna know what's available and connect that way. So we're gonna ask people to sign up for that, to be part of that. We'll train you. It's part of that ministry team. It's hospitality. We wanna do better with that. I've had people in the last few months come up to me and say, we wanna get involved and we don't know how. And I'm thinking, that's kinda on us. We want to help people connect. In that same connections room, we want people who love to pray and answer people's questions or at least put a packet in their hand or say, do you want prayer for people who want to know what a relationship with Jesus looks like? Not everyone's willing to come to the front of the church in a service, but they might go out to the fireside room, which is your first room on your left when you walk out, and just say, hey, I'd like some more information. So we want people to be part of that team who are just available every Sunday after church in case somebody wants to know more about having a relationship with Jesus. So we would love for people, again, you can sign up out in the lobby for that. And so two more things, all right? We are entering into our renovations. And boy, it's going to look really different being in the gym on wooden chairs and a cold floor. And we recognize that. And we're going to try to do things like shorten the service and expedite things. But we need two groups of people. We need folks who are willing to set up chairs. We have to set up about 270, 280 chairs every week in the gym. Only take a few minutes, but we need a team that can do that. Dan DePorter is overseeing that team. If you're able to be part of that, and then tear down after every week, folks, starting in March, while we renovate this building. If you could be part of that team, that would be great. Sherry is overseeing a team so that from about quarter after 10 to 10:30, we can serve coffee and goodies every week. We'll make you sit in the gym, but we'll make you do it caffeinated, all right? And so we want people to be part of that hospitality team as well, okay? And so we're going to close right now, but there's one more thing, and we're not talking specifically about it this morning, but we want to make available for you to give. We have a couple of situations within our church, a couple of benevolent situations, families that are in need of help, and we as a church want to be able to come alongside and help. And so we are going to make available, do we have our... Maybe we don't have it. Anyways, I want to give you in here and the folks at home the opportunity this week to give to our benevolent fund. Benevolent is the fund that goes to come alongside to help people in need. And there's a lot of need out there, friends. And you might not be able to give much, but you can give something. And so I know there's at least one situation right now we want to come alongside. In Acts chapter 2, it said that there was no one in the church that had any needs because they all belonged to one another and they all helped one another. And I want us to be able to do that, okay? And so you can give on your e-transfer and mark benevolent on it. You can give cash on the way out at the welcome desk. You can debit it and put benevolent on it. You can give through e-transfer during the week, but we'd love to give you the opportunity to do that. This is the principle I think the Lord wants to teach us and us as a church. We're going in a renovation. We are going into a renovation, which is costing us a lot of money, almost $1 million. But the Bible says when you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. I'll say that. When you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and the Lord always pays back. And I've discovered over the years that the more of the needs are within the church, the more that we find ways to outflow that, the more the Lord goes, you're lending to me. Now the money that you didn't have before you released it, I can now give back because you're lending to me. And so we want to model that as a church structure. We want to model it as individuals. Can we stand? I'm going to ask those that are going to pray this morning to come forward. We're just going to release you to go, but I recognize that on any given week, there's people that might need prayer. We want to be able to pray for you. We'll play some worship music in the background. We ask that we keep this room as a place of prayer still for those that might want prayer. I encourage you, if you've got a few minutes, don't leave if you have a need. These folks will stand with you. They'll come along in agreement, and they will pray on your behalf. All right, listen, I'm so glad you came this morning. Are you glad you came? All right. I am. I'm really glad you came. I'm honored that you would come. Father, thank you for each and every person. Thank you for each and every family in life that's represented. So God, I just pray you'd bless them as they go. May we throughout the week, it's not just when we're gathered here, but may we throughout the week find inventive ways of encouraging others, especially those in the body of Christ. And I just pray blessing on each and every person, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by the message today.